You're going to read with us this morning. We're going to read some from the fourth chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. And also the third chapter of Malachi. Fourth chapter of Deuteronomy and the third chapter of Malachi. Fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, we're going to start with the first verse. It says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, and for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all the law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." Malachi, I believe it is. third chapter, we're going to start with about the 8th verse. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." I believe that's all we'll read this morning. Maybe one more verse if I could find it right quick, and I may not. I'm going to read you a few verses out of the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, 22nd verse, starting with the 22nd. He says, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches." Now, maybe correct the reading. That's reading a portion of Scripture. Some out of the book of Deuteronomy, and some out of Isaiah, and some out of Malachi. I know this morning there's a lot that I've read to you that concerning that of the children of Israel. And the Scripture teaches us, as he said here in Isaiah, he said, you've not done none of these things. He said, "You bought me no sweet cane." He said, "And you've," in other words, "brought the sacrifices that you brought was null, void, no good," in other words. This is his people, Israel. He comes down in the book of Malachi and he talks to them about robbing him. Said, "You've robbed me." And said, "You've not brought that of the increase," in other words, "unto me." But the Lord said, in other words, in the book of Isaiah, he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. In other words, you've not done me very good, but he said, I will blot out your transgressions. In the book of Malachi, he made mention, he said, I will devour, if I can find it right fast. He said, and will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So even though you've robbed me, and even though you've not brought sacrifices, and you've not bought me no sweet cane, he said, even though you've not kept, you go back in Deuteronomy, and that of my laws and that of my commandments, he said, for your sakes, I'm going to drive out the devourer. For your sakes. Now I want you to think about that this morning. There's probably not any of us sitting here this morning that are actually receiving our due rewards. Think about it. Brethren, God's better to us than we've ever been to Him. Better. Greater. Brethren, and for our sakes, my friend, the Bible says, for our sakes, He has killed all the day long. In other words, He'd be crucified. It was not for His sake, but it's for our sakes today. Your sakes. That's what He said. Your sakes. For your sake, I've drove them out. He said that they would not, my friend, do away with the fruit of your ground. You think about it. Brethren, this is a time of harvest. Even naturally speaking, it's a time of harvest. A lot of things have already been harvested and some still coming. Just naturally speaking. And brethren, there's a lot of people that depends on that harvest. They're depending on that they have to come in. Brethren, years ago, my friend, I don't know today, I'm not, brethren, that close to it, but I know a little bit about that, a big industry and farm industry and what have you. But years ago, my friend, they didn't have the means that they have today. And a lot of times that crop, my friend, that come in was supposed to pay the bill for the seeds and the fertilizers and all those things that they brought, my friend, to raise that crop. And if there's anything left over, then, my friend, that was their income. Was it not? Brethren, they depended on that of the fruit to grow that they might have some kind of profit, that they might be able to continue, that they might be able to go on. Brethren, and He, God speaking, and He said, you've not brought me anything. Brethren, you've not bought me nothing. And brethren, yet I'm going to blot out your transgression. How good can He be? How good, brethren, can He be? I'll say again, there's not any of us, brethren, that's actually getting the reward that we're due this morning. Do you get that? Do you get that? Think about it. Why, preacher, I've been so good, the Lord owes me. He don't owe me nothing. No, he don't. There's things, my friend, that I owe him, but brethren, he don't owe me a thing today. No, he don't. These things, brethren, the Bible said in their day, in the Scripture's day, my friend, did you know that they planted the field? And brethren, when they harvested that field, they did not harvest the corners. They did not. They left them. They left them for the stranger. Brethren, and they left them. Brethren, for them that didn't have no fields. Brethren, and they come in and they'd harvest that of those corners. Yes, they would. Brethren, but that they harvested, they had to give so much unto the Levites, my friend. Yes, sir. Because the Levites, my friend, was the priest. They is the priest. And they did not, my friend, no servile work. No, sir. They held the priest's office. You might think that everything was well and good, my friend, for that of the priest. They didn't have to do all this. But, my friend, if the priest didn't do the priest's office, my friend, like it's supposed to be, brethren, they was not a priest anymore. They is gone. Yes, they were. Done away with. Brethren, and even when it come down to the inheritance, they give the 12 tribes of Israel that of their inheritance. Brethren, the Levite was not included in the inheritance, my friend. Because God was their inheritance. And God took care of them. I wonder how much today we think that God's taking care of us. I wonder today, you might say, preacher, you've actually lost your mind. Listen to me. Brethren, for your sakes, it's the reason that Jesus died on the cross, not for his own sake. They didn't do away with him, my friend, because of that that he had done. No, sir. Brethren, did you know that they crucified our Lord and our Savior ignorantly? Ignorantly. My friend, they crucified him. Brethren, when he walked on the face of this earth, they had the opportunity to follow him. And brethren, they followed him not. The majority of them. And you know what he said? Brethren, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, that's a promise, thank God, from God. It does not matter today, my friend. God will forgive you. Thank God if you'll just come to him today with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He'll forgive you. Yes, he will. He'll forgive you for your sakes. I believe the psalmist, my friend, wrote in several different places, my friend, but he said something like this in one place. He says, What shall we give unto the Lord for all his benefits? All his benefits that he's given toward us. What shall we do? What shall we do? The Bible says in the New Testament, Paul writing in that to the Romans, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just a reasonable service. Reasonable service. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, don't tell me that if you're born again, you don't know what God expects. Brethren, you know exactly what He expects out of you. Out of you. But even such as we are, brethren, for our sakes, my friend, God will do things for your sake today. Yes, He will. They was things, my friend, that even the prophets of the day that prophesied against that of Israel. Brethren, and they'd bring the prophecies and they'd talk about Israel and they'd be so clear and so plain, brethren, about what they is going to do. And then, after all that God sent unto them, brethren, God always left a remnant that He might show grace unto. A remnant. Brethren, I'm glad to be part of a remnant, ain't you? I am. I'm glad for your sakes. I want you to think about that. For your sakes. For your sakes. Not the Lord's sakes, but for your sake. Brethren, He has blotted out your transgression. You're not going to beat that anywhere in this world. Brethren, there's nobody that would have so much compassion, brethren, and mercy and grace like the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find one. You won't find one. No, sir. I don't know this morning. I really don't. Brethren, these folks living, have you heard that folks are living on borrowed time? Huh? Borrowed time? I was thinking about that, several things when Doyle made mention about that song. You can't hear that song if you've ever been around Mountain View much at all down through the past, and you don't hear that song without thinking about Clinton Lunsford. Brethren, Clinton, he sung that song about every time he got up. Just about. Brethren, but I was thinking as Doyle was talking there, my friend, just how many of the old path, my friend, that is gone. Gone. But I'm going to tell you something, church. They left something. Amen. They most certainly did. They left something, thank God. If you'll take it, brethren, and use it, it'll be a benefit to you. It most certainly will. There's for our sakes. For our sakes. For your sakes. Can I say this? Some of them said, I think it was Marshall might have said this morning, Brother Thurman preached about hell. Brother Thurman preached about hell. Brother Clinton, you couldn't. Just about every time Brother Clinton get up, you know what he'd wind up preaching on? Sin. Sin. Yes, sir. I heard him enough to know. Yes, sir. Make no difference, my friend, where he started. Brethren, he is going to preach on sin. Yes, sir. He said something, my friend, that has stuck with me, never has left me. We was just talking. Brethren, he said, did you know, Randy, he said, the gods of prosperity, brethren, has robbed us. Has robbed us. He wasn't talking about you. Do you know that? He wasn't talking about you. He is talking about them of that day. He had seen, brethren, that of prosperity. And brethren, all them folks that got baptized and all them folks that come into the church, when things begin to prosper, brethren, they forgot the house of God. Yes, sir. I used to hear when I first started out preaching, they'd talk about the long lines, my friend, they'd have in baptizing. They'd talk about how many they'd have saved round about. They'd talk about them standing outside looking in the windows. They'd talk about all that. They did. Brethren, I asked one of them one day, he is an older preacher. I said, I'd like to know where they all at. Where are they all at? Do you know what? He couldn't say a word. Not a word. Brethren, maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, brethren, that all them that said they got saved. I don't know where they did or not. But I'm going to be honest with you. Brethren, whether they did or whether they didn't, if they left the house of God, they was one miserable person. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Brethren, folks today's got an idea about what church means to them. Do you know that? They most certainly do. They've got an idea of what church means to them. And I'm going to be honest with you. Brethren, our definition of church, my friend, and their definition of church is two different things. Two different things. Brethren, they didn't mind going to meeting. Do you know that? A lot of them, thank God, was ready to go to meeting before they got to the meeting place. Do you know that? Brethren, some of them, thank God. I remember got in on maybe a little tail of some of these things. But brethren, I can remember going to the rock altar, my friend, and thank God it started the rock altar. Brethren, they'd be preaching before they ever got in the house of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But brethren, we've got a different view today of what the church really means. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Brethren, the church is a body. It's a body made up of believers. It's exactly what it is. And a church, my friend, is an organism. It's not no organization. There's a difference. There's a difference. Brethren, an organism has life within it. Yes, sir. Within it. Brethren, it's not a social club. It's not a place, thank God, to come just to show off what we've got today. No, sir. It ought to be, my friend, life. It'll be life in us. It ought to be, my friends, that we bring life to the house of God. Do you know what the church really is? It ain't these four walls. This is a sanctuary that Mountain View has set aside, brethren, to worship end. And I'm glad we've got a place of worship. Yes, I am. And I believe, I just say this, if you got any thoughts about it, I believe it ought to be as good or better than the home you live in. Yes, sir. It's the way it ought to be. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. These four walls, my friend, don't house the church. No, sir, it's not the dwelling place. Brethren, the dwelling place of the house of God is in your heart today. Yes, it is. Brethren, that's where it belongs. That's where he set up his abode. Yes, sir. And the truth of it is, my friend, you'd be real truthful this morning. My friend, the Bible says, and it works this way, if your heart condemn you, you are condemned already. Do you know that? You're condemned already. You say, preacher, you getting on to us. It ain't that I'm getting on to you, but brethren, it's just like gold. Put her through the fire. See if she won't come out more pure. Preacher, I won't have that. What'd Peter say? He said that the trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold, though it be tried by fire. Preacher, I didn't think that we had any trials, my friend, that the trial of your faith, brethren, you don't think it'll be put to the test? You don't think your faith, my friend, will be put to the fire? Yes, it will, my friend. Not only, brethren, but if you'll look at it, thank God it just makes you better this morning. It does. Just makes you better. Your sakes. Your sakes. The truth of it is, my friend, the doors of Mountain View Baptist Church are open for your sake. Do you know that? Your sake. Yes, your sakes, my friend, that you might have the place, that you come together. Brethren, that the Holy Ghost, my friend, might have free liberty, thank God, from breast to breast this morning. Your sake. Thank God. I'm glad you're here. I really am. I'm glad you're here. I have preached to less people. I have preached to as less as one. Yes, sir. As less as one. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I do. Thank God. When I went to the meeting place, I was the only one there. Thank God I got down, I thought I'd just pray. Thank God I was up preaching. Huh? Yes, sir. Preacher, did it do you any good? It must have. I'm still preaching. Listen to me. Brother, God knows exactly what you need today. Yes, he does. Ain't a lot of folks, my friend, figured out the church, my friend, ain't what they want. Do you know that? I'll not get on that. There's some things, my friend, that people have changed today. Have changed. And it ain't no different, my friend, than what the scripture says, that an adulterous woman, my friend, she'll take and wipeth her mouth and saith she had done no wrong. You hear me? Brethren, folks have got an idea in their minds and in their hearts, brethren, that they can live for God exactly where they are, just as good. Listen to me. There's a reason there's a sanctuary. There's a reason we got a meeting place. Yes, they are. You can't tell me brethren, that it's just the same. It ain't. I can tell you it ain't. Brethren, I can tell you from experience it ain't. At COVID, my friend, it might have been some of them's answer, my friend, not to ever come back to church, but thank God it just done me the opposite. Yes, sir, I couldn't wait to get back. No, sir, I heard some of good a preaching, my friend, as I'd ever heard. But listen, brethren, something was missing, huh? And it was the people that make up the body. Yes, sir, for your sake. Brethren, if we'd write down, I'm not much one, brethren, to keep up. I've thought, brethren, I've always tried to abide, my friend, by that I wanted to be done. What do you mean, preacher? In other words, how I wanted to be treated. Do you treat people, my friend, like you want to be treated? Or do you treat them, my friend, like they are something off? Yeah, something off. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Brethren, I've always tried to treat my preacher brethren above me. I've always tried to pray for them, and I'll be quite frank with you. Very seldom, if any, have I ever opened my Bible, my friend, while a man was preaching. You hear me? I've run revivals, my friend, for men, and there's been a few of them. There'd been a few of them. I reckon they was listening. Every now and again, I'd get an amen. Every now and again. But I've run revivals, my friend, where men would open their Bible and they couldn't get their nose out of it. Was they trying to figure out if I was preaching the Word? I doubt it. I'm just going to be plain with you. Brethren, why in the world do you ask the man if you ain't going to get in there with him? Listen to me. Listen, you say, preacher, it might have been something else. It might have been, but I helped in two or three, one of them, and thank God he did it the whole three times. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, for your sake is what God done for you. For your sake. Brethren, he didn't hang on that cross because he had sinned. He didn't hang on that cross, my friend, because he was a villain. No, sir, he hung on that cross, my friend, a pure and supreme sacrifice. Yes, sir, for sin. For sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, my friend, for your sakes this morning. Not ours. Not his. Brethren, there are some things that if we'd just pay attention to, brethren, that God has done for your sake. For your sake. Brethren, it makes no difference today, brethren, what people thinks, brethren, about the church. In a lot of ways, my friend, because they have the church, my friend, out of line in their hearts. Yes, they do. But yet, at the end of the day, it's the Lord that'll woo that soul, that'll woo that heart. For what? For their sake. For their sake. When a person gets saved, my friend, the Scripture says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brethren, and the Scripture's real and it's true. But brethren, when a person gets saved and God saves somebody, thank God it's for your sake. Think about it, your sake. Not his sake, but your sake. Did you know that God will hear you for Christ's sake. Yes, sir. God will hear you for Christ's sake. That of His Son, and that He has purchased with His blood. Thank God He'll save you. Thank God for Christ's sake today. And when He saves you, my friend, it'll be for your sake. For your sake. Things that the Lord has done, brethren, for your sake. It might seem a little awful that Stephen, my friend, Stephen was ordained out of a deacon. But you find Stephen over there amongst them of the council. And he preached unto them, and he brought the word unto them. Brethren, and you can go and read it in the book of Acts, my friend, and you'll find over there, brethren, that he talked to them about all that the Lord had done to the children of Israel and how He had brought them through. And then He got down to them that He is talking to. And He said, you're stiff-necked. He said, and you're unbelieving. Yes, sir. And they, brethren, they gnashed upon Him. They, brethren, was going to do away with Stephen for preaching what he preached. Why, preacher? Because it was against them. They didn't like what he was saying. You'll not find, brother, any more compassion than what Stephen showed when he was being stoned. As they are stoning him, I believe you'll read in the scripture and find that he said, lay not this sin to their charge. For they what? Know not what they do. They know not what they do. Listen. And then he said something else unto them. He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And brethren, these things, brethren, that you just can't run off, thank God, a child of God. You know that. You say, preacher, they done away with old Stephen. They done away with a man. Brethren, they never did get rid of that message. That message was for them. And it was for their sakes. And whether you'll have it or not sometimes, I know this morning this is, I don't know what you'd call it, for your sake. It's for your sake. Brethren, that God has done for us, we ought to pay attention. Thank God, because there's some benefits and some rewards in living for God. For your sakes this morning. For us. For us. I believe the Lord has a storehouse for us. I do. I believe the Lord, my friend, opens up doors for us. You don't think so? He'll open up the windows of heaven. Yes, sir. He'll open up the windows of heaven. And give them to us. Us. Thank God. But they gotta be a desire. Thank God to use them for His honor and His glory. If every member of this church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? Think about it. Think about it this morning. Your sakes. Your sakes. That God has done is for your sake. Not for His own sake, but for your sakes. The scripture teaches us, brethren, that when he come into this world, he come to seek and to save that which was lost. One writer said he's come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For the lost sheep, them, my friend, that needed saving. Them that needed, as Nicodemus asked him. And he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb the second time? And he looked and he told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I saidest thou must be born again. He said, that is born of flesh is flesh, but that is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, the wind listeth, and you know not where it went or where it come from. He said, such is the way of the Spirit. Brethren, you don't know what it takes to get born again, except you come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You'll not get born again when you want to. Well, preacher, you done said that God so loved the world. He does. He so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's things, brethren, that me and you are to recognize that God has done is for us. Us. Now you look at it for just a minute, my friend. That we do ought to be for him. Do you know that? That of which we do. I'm going to ask them to get a verse of a song. It's going to be the message this morning. For your sakes, the Lord's able. He's able to redeem. Well, the scripture teaches us and tells us he's able to lift up. He's able to bring down. He's able to open a door. He's able to close a door. He said that he opened, no man could shut. That of which he shut, he said, no man can open. Preacher, how do you get those things open? It's got to be through the Spirit. It's got to be through the Spirit, not the natural, but through the Spirit. He ain't talking about going through an open natural door. He said, in one place, I am the door to the sheepfold. That not right? Done it for your sake. That of which God hath done, he done it for your sakes. Your sakes. Think about it. Think about what God has done for you while we stand. Sing.